Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us. What do you say we take the time to quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God? God's got a lesson for you today, my friend. We're going to school. Only question is, are you ready to be the student? The good news about the good news is that God wants to lead us. And He does this in many, many ways, in what I call the quiet voice. But one very powerful way that God leads us is through His Word, because His Word is alive. It's not like a normal book. His Word will speak to you, and it will speak to you depending on what season He finds you in. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we consider this classic gospel, one that we all know, and maybe learn something new, something that we can take into our week as we apply into our daily living. We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke, I believe, yes, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would have gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick the sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. He cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us, there is a great chasm established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead, they will repent.' When Abraham said, 'Well, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this amazing gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we're going to talk all about hell. It's not a popular subject, not often discussed. Even though the subject of hell comes up 162 times in the New Testament, 70 from the mouth of our Lord. But we don't want to talk about hell. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you heard a really good homily on hell? How about never? And you want to know why? because people don't want to talk about it. And not only that, there is definitely a force in this world that does not want you to talk about it. It would rather keep you distracted for some 80 to 90 years, and in this way, win the war, because you will never show up for a battle. But today, we're going to talk about hell. Hell, of course, is a great mystery for many of us, because when people go, they generally don't come back and tell us about it. We don't have any eyewitnesses. Now, if you've been with us over the last several weeks, Jesus has been talking to, well, three different groups of people. The first group are tax collectors and sinners. Remember how they were drawing near? The second group are the Pharisees and the scribes, who represent the religious leadership of Israel. And they're not fans, because Jesus, who is truth, has presented truth, and they don't like it. But there's a third group, and these are his disciples, who, while often confused, are committed to following Jesus. And that's us, because we are often confused, often fail, but we're giving it our best trying to follow Jesus. So if you've been with us for the last several weeks, Jesus has been talking to these three groups of people. First, we had the lost sheep, and then the lost coin, and then the prodigal son, all very much related. Then last week, we had the wicked servant. And this week, he is turning his attention to the Pharisees directly. Now, remember how I said we don't have any eyewitnesses to hell? Well, we do today with this parable, Rich Man and Lazarus, which is fascinating on many levels, beginning with the fact that some wonder whether it is actually a parable at all. Because through the centuries, there's been a whole lot of talk suggesting that this might have been an actual event, you know, happening in space and time, and not just a parable, because Luke gives us a proper name, Lazarus. No other parable does that. So we know the poor man's name is Lazarus. So let's talk about that. At one point of the story, the rich man finds himself in hell, while at the same time, the poor man, Lazarus, finds himself in the bosom of Abraham, which is heaven. And the rich man can see Lazarus from hell, which begs the question, would there be a balcony in heaven where you can actually see people in hell? Because if that's the case, I don't think that would be so great. I mean, I might not like them, but I would not enjoy watching anybody suffering like that. You know, the old saying, I would not wish that on my worst enemy. That's true. Now, let me just say in passing, if you have a resentment in your heart that is so serious that you would actually wish hell on anybody, you might want to take a closer look at that. But getting back to our story today, Rich Man and Lazarus, it's a parable of real contrast and reversal, because you have a poor man, desperately poor, and then you have an extremely rich man. So you have a man who's starving with no food, and a man who is dining sumptuously every night. So you have a poor man who desires everything and has nothing, and you have a rich man who desires nothing because he has everything. Now, when I say the poor man has nothing, I mean nothing. There are several different Greek words for poverty. And the word for Lazarus when describing his poverty is tokos, which is the lowest rung on the ladder. It is the most desperate of poverties. Now you contrast that with, and there's a rich man, dressed in purple garments and fine linens. Now, the purple, that's an interesting detail, because that color, purple, in the ancient world, is a very important color. It denotes royalty or clergy. In the ancient world, purple, the dye that come, you know, to make purple, comes from a shellfish known as murex. and you crushed it up and you boiled it, and a very royal purple pigment would appear. It was the most expensive dye available in the ancient world. And not much has changed today. You know, not that long ago, I went to one of those really fancy fundraisers, and I was talking to this lady who pointed out a handbag that this other woman was carrying, not something I would have probably have noticed, not really my purview, but she pointed it out, and she said, you know, that bag's probably worth $10,000. $10,000? I was stunned. I mean, it didn't seem like it was all that much. It's not like it had diamonds or encrusted jewels or anything. It just looked like a normal bag. But according to this woman, that if you wear that purse, this particular purse, it tells the world, or at least people who would recognize it, tells the world that you're a big deal. That's what the color purple represented in the ancient world. Big deals wore purple. Royalty or wealthy religious, Pharisees, high priests, scribes, Sadducees. This is a detail I am confident was not lost on the original audience. It also mentions fine linen. And the finest of linens came out of Egypt, still do today. So this man who's dressed in purple and fine linens, he's a nameless rich man, but he certainly wasn't nameless in the day. Oh, no, quite the contrary. I'm sure he was a big deal at the time. He had made a big name for himself, but where is he now? Like dust on the scales. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would have gladly eaten the scraps that fell off the rich man's table. So the Greek word for sores here is alchemy, which is ulcers. And in this culture, if you're covered with ulcers, well, you're a leper, you're cursed, you're untouchable. You're cast out of the community. And another clue that we have with this man Lazarus is where we find him. He's lying at the door of the rich man. Now, older translations use the phrase laid at the gate. And that word laid in Greek is balo, which means to throw or to dump. So we can assume that he can't move. Because, of course, the normal place for beggars would be just outside the temple downtown. But he's so crippled, he can't compete with the crowd. So somebody has dumped him here. And as it goes, he longs for the scraps that might fall from the rich man's table. Now, keep in mind the theology of the day. It was the original gospel of prosperity. The nation of Israel believed that if you had wealth and health, that meant that you were blessed by God. And if you were poor and sick, well, then you're a sinner. But then death comes knocking. The great equalizer comes for the rich, comes for the poor, comes for the proud, comes for the humble, comes for the famous, comes for the anonymous, comes for all of us. And as my good friend Tony says, at the end of the game, the king and the pawn go back into the same box. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around, we'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we're talking about the rich man and Lazarus. So the poor man Lazarus dies. And while our gospel doesn't really say, I'm pretty confident that he did not have a funeral. No ceremony, no kind words, no. Just some nameless group of untouchables collected his body and threw him into the ever-burning trash dump of Gehenna, discarded. Meanwhile, I imagine the rich man had a huge funeral. You know, great pomp and circumstance, as his powerful and politically connected friends were jockeying for positions to eulogize this man with great eloquence. Meanwhile, his relatives are squabbling over his extensive real estate holdings. So at this moment, all is in balance. The beggar is thrown unceremoniously into a burning trash dump, while the friends of the righteous one are whispering, he's in a better place. But then here it comes, the great reversal. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died, was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. So first of all, that line, when the poor man died, he was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham, which is heaven. I have always found that very comforting. I mean, think about it. When we are born into this world, we are met by our mother. When we clear the womb, there's somebody there. Well, according to this scripture, when we leave this earth, it's much the same. Someone or something is there. According to Jesus, the angels have a job. And that job is to meet us in that moment and to carry us away. So what that means is we will never be alone. And I take great comfort in that. Through the years, I've been at the bedside of many people as they are crossing over. And I have seen some with such peace, it almost seemed like they were being carried away. I've seen people in their last moments reaching out, pointing. But let's get back to our gospel. Let's talk about this rich man. What do we know about him? Well, he ain't rich anymore. We know that. Secondly, we know that he's very much aware of his circumstance. And it's not good. He's suffering torment in the flames. This translation says the netherworld. Older translations say Hades. And let me tell you, nobody is more surprised at where he is than him. I'm sure the Pharisees, when they first heard this story, were stunned. The great reversal. The righteous man, who was blessed by God, esteemed and envied by all, is now crying out in torment from Hades, while Lazarus, obviously a cursed piece of trash, justifiably thrown into the burning trash dump, is now lying in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man cries out, Abraham, Father, have pity on me. And that, now here's another reversal. The man who felt no pity is now asking for pity. The man who is in need of nothing is now asking for something. But listen to what he said. Father, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I mean, this guy, he don't get it. He is still treating like Lazarus as some kind of servant. I mean, he still thinks that the systems that he lived and died in are still in place, and they're not. That he would make such a request to ask Lazarus to do anything. Why? Well, let me tell you why. Because there is no correction in hell. Because there is no truth. Truth is absent. You learn nothing. The time for learning is over. By the time you end up in hell, you continue to live the lie you have always lived, which, by the way, is that you yourself are your own God. Abraham responds to this request by informing the rich man that the lifetime he lived had brought him to where he was now. And the lifetime that Lazarus lived, as difficult as it was, brought him to where he is now. And he went on to explain that there is a great chasm established between the two to prevent anyone from crossing. So once again, like I said, this guy's not learning. Treating Lazarus like a servant, he says, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so he can warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment. Now, this is interesting, because remember how we were talking about the discussion about how, is this really a parable, or did this actually happen? This line right here gives way to the theory that it actually happened, because tradition holds that the high priest Caiaphas did have five brothers. So this would have been a not so subtle indictment of the high priest Caiaphas and the religious leadership of the day. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. That Latin word for listen is acula, which is where we get acoustic, and it really kind of highlights the problem of the Pharisees' religious leadership at the time and many of us today. And that problem is this. If you've already made up your mind, you can't listen. And if you can't listen, you can't learn. And this is their problem. A problem, like I said, that continues with many of us today. We are blind. We are deaf to the truth. The rich man says, oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone should rise from the dead, meaning that if his brothers were to see Lazarus raised from the dead, they would repent, they would believe. But you know what? The irony of that is they actually did see a man raised from the dead, and his name happened to be Lazarus. And how did they react to that? Well, they plotted to kill Jesus. And were eventually successful. Once again, proving that in hell, nothing is learned and nothing changes. There is no correction in hell. Being in hell is being stuck in the habitual lie. And there's no breaking out of this lie. And the lie, once again, the great lie, that you yourself are your own God. That is the source of all your torment. And of course, that's not true, because in hell, there is no truth. So this man, he dies deaf and blind and wakes up in hell still deaf and blind. And now he is arguing with Abraham. Send Lazarus and then they'll believe. Oh, yeah, sure. Give them a powerful sign and then they will believe, which is exactly what they said to Jesus in a thousand different ways throughout his ministry. Give us a sign, and then we will believe. All the way to Calvary. In fact, from the cross. Come off that cross, and then we will believe. In other words, prove it. Abraham says, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded should someone rise from the dead. So what do we learn? Well, number one, we learn that the Pharisaical belief system that continues today under the name of the Gospel of Prosperity is a lie. That's the first thing. But we also learn that beginning with the lost sheep, moving through the lost coin and the prodigal son and the wicked servant, and concluding with our rich man and Lazarus today, Jesus is making it very, very clear. Okay, this is not about how much money you have. And if you got a lot of money, you're cursed. It's about if your love of money supersedes him, you are worshiping at the altar of mammon and it will fail you. You might be sitting in church every Sunday wearing purple and headed for the smoking section. It's not that the rich man was an evil guy. I doubt he ever looked down at Lazarus as, oh, what a loser. No, it's far worse. I doubt he even noticed. Distracted by the pleasures of this world, I wonder, how many of us are stepping over Lazarus every day? So my friends, today we talked about the rich man and Lazarus. And what did we learn? How can we apply this into our daily living? Well, first of all, Scripture makes it clear over and over again that the wages of sin is death. And given the fact that we're all sinners, this is what we deserve. Yet through the selfless gift of the Father, we have been given an opportunity. Let us not squander that opportunity. Let us locate that which separates us from the love of our Father. Let us open up ourselves to the needs of those around us. Let us repent from what is keeping us from the love of our Father. It is our choice. It is a choice that has eternal consequences. Let us choose wisely. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.